Because though volunteerism and servanthood look very much alike, they simply do not emanate from the same source. And here's where I want to talk about goodness for a minute as I bring this to a close. Volunteerism comes from the residual good in me from the fall. Whereas serving comes from the God in me, the God who brought Jesus Christ into this world, the God, Father, and Son and Holy Spirit in me. Now look at this. I want you to see this. Next slide, please. Listen, Genesis 1:31, God gets done creating everything, including man, and he says it was what? Good. Great if it just went from there, right? But unfortunately, it doesn't. And so man falls. And then Jesus is teaching in Luke 11. He's trying to teach people about asking the Father. And he says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts. What's he referring to? He's referring to the residual good in us. It is not that man does not have goodness in him. But that goodness has a limitation. I'll read it to you from Romans chapter 2. It's important we see this. The limitation of man's goodness is his conscience. Paul says in Romans 2, verse 14, indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves, even though they do not have the law. Since they show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts now accusing, now even defending them. So Paul says, in between the depths of the sinful nature and the release of the Spirit, Romans 7 and 8, is this thing called conscience. And even unbelievers have a conscience. And they know when it gets pricked. And they know when they've done right, and they know when they've done wrong. But they will not exceed their conscience. See, whenever there are natural disasters in this country, most of the time we respond pretty amazingly. And I'm talking about Americans, not just Christians. We respond in an amazing way. It's an awesome thing. Whether it's Red Cross or some other humanitarian organization that tries to appeal to our conscience or our goodness, they'll show the tragedy, they'll show the people walking around, they'll play the music in the background, and they're appealing to our conscience or to that which is good in us. That's it. They're not appealing to Christ. They're appealing to one of those two things. Whether they can articulate it or not, they know those two things are in man. All right? But after a while, a person can only do so much of that before they get swallowed up by their environment. Meaning this, you get swallowed up by the sinful nature, the world, or the devil. That's what John said. It's like a boat that starts sinking off the coast of California. And there's two guys on the boat. One's an Olympic swimmer, and he can swim 20 miles. And the other guy is just a regular Joe, and he can maybe swim 3/4 of a mile. But they're 80 miles off the coast, and there's no other boats. Eventually, what's going to happen? They're going to get swallowed up by the sea. Because there's a limitation to what man can do independent of God. And it's important we understand this. That there is a limitation to the goodness of man. You know, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And they will say, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And did we not lay hands on your name, in your name, on the sick, and in your name? And then did we not prophesy and drive out demons? You know, for years we Pentecostals think, hey, he's talking to us. The reality is the reference is most likely to the Pharisees who believed in all these things. Read about the Pharisees. The Sadducees didn't believe in anything supernatural, but the Pharisees did. They didn't have a problem with Jesus healing a man in the synagogue. They had a problem with Jesus healing a man in the synagogue on the Sabbath. They didn't have a problem with Jesus driving out demons or prophesying. They had a problem with how he did it. See what I'm saying? And he said, they're doing all these things, but Jesus says, you're lawless. You brag about the law and you're lawless. You're a bunch of self-righteous hypocrites. I'll read one last scripture to you. In Acts 10, one of the great stories in the Bible is about a guy named Cornelius. He's a Roman centurion. He is in charge of 100 men, and the Romans rule the Jews, and the Jews like that or they don't like that? Come on, this is a quiz for lunch. They like it or they don't? They don't. Can't stand it. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion, in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. So here's this guy who's not a Jew, but he's God-fearing. He prays, he gives, he does all kinds of... God comes to him in a vision and says, go send for Peter. And so Peter comes to him, and you kind of know the story. Here's what I want you to see. In Acts 11, when Peter is recounting this story to his Jewish friends, he says in verse 13, he's saying, now he's recounting the story to them, and he's saying, here's what Cornelius told me. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, send to Joppa for Simon, who's called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved. You see, Cornelius isn't saved. He's a God-fearer. He does good things, but he's not saved because he's a God-fearer and does good things. I believed in God growing up in the Greek church. I had no relationship with him. I wasn't about to blaspheme God. Believed in the Trinity, believed in the Apostles' Creed, believed in church, but I had no relationship with him. Didn't make me better. I was still a pagan. Thank you, dear. You know, I really like it when you're not here when I'm preaching. I have a lot more freedom in the spirit. I was a pagan. I'm drunk one night in Milwaukee with my friends singing Christmas carols. My friend says to me, should we be doing that? I said, oh, God doesn't care. And here I am singing O Holy Night Silent Night and O Come All You Faithful. Pagan. See, we have the ability not only to know good, but also to do good, but it simply will not make us a good person. As believers, we experience Christ's goodness imputed to us through faith. It comes as a miracle. I mean, one minute it's not there, and the next minute it is. One minute I'm looking at my older sister wanting to wring her neck, and the next minute, I love you. How do you describe that? Beats me. You don't. You let it happen. You test God. You say, well, God, if it's really real, he's not afraid of that. The reason we ought to exchange our own goodness for Christ is because of the trap of self-righteousness it sets. Goodness is a fruit of the Spirit. I love telling some friends, you look at the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And of course, you can meet people who aren't saved, who are very patient, they're controlled, and they become Christians. And I say, I got some news for you. You know all that patience you got? As all self-manufactured, it's going to come down. I hate to tell you this, but you're going to learn God's patience. Not a popular message, but the fact is it's true. See, we get the fruit of the Spirit worked in us, and we exchange what we are for what He offers. So we can stand before Him and say it's because of what I did or didn't do. Won't cut it. How many of us seek to justify our sins based upon acts of goodness we've done, hoping to balance the scales? And here's how I close. The problem is the amount of good we can do independent of God simply will not atone for that which is not good in us. And that's why humanitarian efforts, as good as they can be, and I'm not saying you shouldn't support them or anything like that, they can only go so far. They simply cannot transform the heart and make us servants. And you say, oh, but I don't be a servant. Servant. Ugh. No. Once you discover it in Christ, it's a whole different cat. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, if you guys would come up. You know what? If you're not sure which word best describes you, servant or volunteer, we're going to sing one more song here. And I just want you to think on what we've talked about the last 2 weeks. We're gonna pray. And just ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. You know what? Maybe you have never, ever in your heart said, Christ, come in and be my Savior. Be in me. Come in me. Take up your dwelling in me. You've never done that. You've gone to church, you know the routine, but you've never done that. You've never made it personal. I'm friends. You got nothing to lose and everything to gain.